If you turn with me in your copy of the Scriptures to the first letter of John, the last time we looked at this together, we were in the first two verses of chapter 2. John had told us, under the inspiration of the Spirit, that he had written this book, and the purpose that he had written it was so that we would not sin, because John knew that the best thing for any human being is to do all that God has for them to do, to walk in a love relationship with him. And then he would say in chapter 2 and continuing in verse 1, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua Mashiach, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." And we consider together the mighty Messiah that we have from the Father, who is an advocate for us and who pleads his very own blood and perfect life before the Father and says, "This one is mine, and there can never be any condemnation against us ever again." And he, through his sacrifice, has turned aside the just and appropriate wrath of God towards all sin and has brought us to the place of refuge and shelter. And the glory this is, that he would stir us to share this with the whole world. And now John gives us another glimpse into why he has written this letter, and we have suggested this before, beginning in 1 John 2, verse 3. He writes, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Verse 3, "Now by this we know." That little four-letter word in our English language, "know," is packed with meaning. John will use it 25 times in this letter, in the original language. And it's the kind of knowing that God has for us. It's what we would call assurance. There has been much debate in the family of God over the years about whether or not we can know for certain that we are saved, that we have a relationship with God. This letter is enough to say to us that God wants us to know for certain that we belong to him, and that we can live in that reality, in that blessed security. And of course, in this text, he will help us see that that is never a license to do whatever we want to do. But rather, when you and I are in a right relationship with God, we know that we are in that relationship because of certain realities in our life. This kind of knowing is not simply informational. This kind of knowing is an experiential knowing. It's the deepest kind of knowing. It's knowing very, very similar to what God says about Adam and Eve in chapter 1, or chapter 4 of verse 1 of Genesis, where it says, "Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived." That is the level of intimacy of knowing that God wants us to have in relationship with him. That we know that we know him. And how is it that we know him? There are some things here that he highlights. One is that we know him if we keep his commandments. It is always important for us to get the sequence properly. We do not keep commandments in order to know him. We know him, and as a result of knowing him, we keep his commandments. Totally different, totally opposite. You see, when you and I come to know God, we come to realize that what he says to us is the very best thing in all the world. The commands that he gives us are not prohibitions, they are not limitations, they are freedoms. And whatever God commands he also enables. The law is given not to save us, but to show us what God wants us to be. It has no power to save us, but it paints a glorious picture of who we are and what God has designed for us in a relationship with him. And the law, Shaul will say, is meant to lead us to the one who can save us and enable us to fulfill the law, and that is Yeshua the Messiah. So it is a tutor to take us to Yeshua. It takes us to him. But it is glorious. The person who is in a relationship with God through Yeshua says, the law of God, the commands of God are good and holy and perfect, and they are my delight. And then in verse 4, he says, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, some of us get a little disturbed by such a point-blank statement. But over and over, we must realize that in this letter, John is saying that a person's lifestyle is what is so important. He's already said in verse 1 of this chapter that if anyone sins, and he's also said at the end of chapter 1 that if I say I have no sin, I'm not telling the truth. If I say I don't have a sin nature, I'm not telling the truth. So John and God through John is saying to us that it's our lifestyle that is how we will know we have a relationship with him. If I say I know him and my lifestyle consistently refuses to do what he says, then John says, I am lying. But however, if my lifestyle says that I'm working towards, I'm moving towards, I'm trusting more and more, moving in his commands, and there are times when I stumble and I feel guilty and ashamed of it, and I turn back to him and confess, that kind of person is one who truly knows him. And so you and I can still stumble from time to time. But the pattern and the course of our life, if we truly know Yeshua, and if we truly know God through him, the pattern of our life will be to keep his commands. But John writes this to help us, because there are people, and there were people in John's day who said that it doesn't matter what you do with the commands. You can know God without it having an impact on your lifestyle. Because the viewpoint was, it was more like an enlightenment. And I've often pictured the difference between this knowing, the knowing of it that leads to a real relationship with God, and the knowing that doesn't. The difference between a textbook and an owner's manual. The textbook is something we read and we get lots of information, but it doesn't necessarily impact our life. But an owner's manual is something we read so we know how to take care of the device that we have. It tells us how it functions at the very best. This book is not a textbook. This book is an owner's manual. And it is meant to change our life, and it will. So when we say we know him, one of the ways we know that we really do know him, one of the ways that we continually know that we know him, is that our response toward his commands. Then in verse 5 it says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. John is getting into deeper and deeper levels of intimacy here. He says that when you and I are in a relationship with him, that we will keep his commands. And then he goes into the broader statement, not just the specific commands, we'll keep his whole word, that his whole word will be precious to us. This book will be increasingly precious to us. And as a result of this, God's love will become more and more evident in our life. John will have a lot more to say about that love. But God's love, the love of God in us, his love for us, our love for him, will become more and more evident and perfected. The word perfected doesn't mean without any flaw, perfection means to bring to its logical conclusion that a life in relationship with God will logically lead to a life of love. And love will become more and more dominant in our life if we really do belong to God. And then he says that this is how we know we are in him. We know him intimately. Not only that, we are actually in him. He is the atmosphere of our lives. Yeshua talked about this, about abiding in him, that he is the vine and we are the branches, and the union is so intimate that we get our life from him, that we abide in him. We dwell in him and live in him. We live and move and breathe in him, that he is the atmosphere of our lives. And then he comes to verse 6, and he says, he who is in this intimate relationship of abiding, he who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So for the next few minutes, I want us to consider how Yeshua walked. Walk is a wonderful word picturing the relationship we have with God. That it is a lifestyle. It is a journey with him. It is all of life. Wherever we are, we walk with him. How did Yeshua walk? I love to consider the first days of Yeshua's life, the first years of his life. And we're given really only one glimpse of his life after his birth, and that's in Luke chapter 2. And it begins to set the tone for how Yeshua was walking all the days of his life. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. His parents, that is Yeshua's parents, went to Jerusalem every year at Pesach, the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Yeshua lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And then here is the glimpse into Yeshua's heart. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Yeshua increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. To walk like Yeshua means that in the deepest core of our hearts, we are concerned with our Heavenly Father's business. And notice that after this incident, that Yeshua subjected himself to his parents. There was never a moment in Yeshua's life where he ever did anything wrong. He perfectly kept all the law of God every moment in thought, in word, in deed. And in this moment, being in the temple was where the Father wanted him. But then after this incident, it was the Father's design that he live in an appropriate relationship with his earthly parents. And it's also beautiful to see that Yeshua increased day by day, walking with the Father about the Father's business, walking, learning, growing in wisdom, growing in physical stature, growing in favor with God, and growing in relationship with people. Then, as the years passed, there came that moment when Yeshua knew it was time to go public. So in the book of Luke again, chapter 3, verse 21, we see him emerge. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Yeshua also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. So again, we get another glimpse. How did Yeshua walk? He walked in intimacy with the Father, doing all that the Father said, regardless of what other people might think. In this occasion, in another of the Gospels, it says that John tried to keep Yeshua from being baptized. He says, I need to be baptized of you. And Yeshua said, no, this is appropriate to fulfill all righteousness. People were coming to be baptized because they were confessing their sins. Yeshua had no sin to confess. But it was the Father's will that he be baptized for a number of reasons. But one, I think, was to say, I am going to be the one who will ultimately do the baptizing. But in the process, I am fully identifying with you. I am fully human. I am identifying with you. But the way through salvation is going to be through the picture of baptism, which was under the water, back out of the water. Out of death comes resurrection life. And then at that very moment, as he was also a man of prayer, and Luke highlights this more than any other gospel, that Yeshua was a person devoted to prayer. At this baptism, he prayed, and the heaven was opened, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, descended in bodily form, like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. The Gospel of Luke is also the Gospel in which the place of the Spirit of God is most clearly seen in the life of Yeshua. I love to meditate and think about those words that the Father spoke on that day. You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Do you realize the Father was saying on those 30 years when you and I know nothing about what Yeshua did, that every moment of every day, Yeshua had pleased the Father. That puts a great stamp of approval on our everyday lives, on our sleeping, on our eating, on our walking, on our talking, and on our work. There is no part of life that is not spiritual. It is all spiritual because it is all in a relationship with God. And Yeshua helps us see that in the stamp of the Father's approval upon his life for those 30 years highlights that as well. Well, then we move into chapter 4 of Luke. And this also shows us the lifestyle of Yeshua. It shows us his walk and what our walk will look like. It says in verse 1, then Yeshua, being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. His life was a life filled with the Spirit. Never did the Spirit find limitation in his life. Never was the Spirit backed into a corner in his heart or in his mind. The Spirit had control of his life always. And in this moment, it says not only was he led by the Spirit, that word led means he was driven by the Spirit. He was compelled by the Spirit. And he responded in obedience, going into the wilderness. And there he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. It wasn't just the end, it was throughout the whole time. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when he had ended, he was hungry, and the devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And here we get the first glimpse in this moment of what it is to walk with Yeshua, to walk like he walks. But Yeshua answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Yeshua, his whole life, was totally constrained by the word of God. From beginning to end, he got his cues from the word of God. The fact that he was able to speak this out to the evil one showed that this was something that had been in his heart for a long time. At an early age, Yeshua had been hearing the Devars, the Torah portions in the synagogue, and he had absorbed it into his heart, and it was his very life. And his conclusion was that man doesn't live by externals only, but man lives primarily and ultimately by everything that God says. The Word of God was vital to Yeshua. His whole life was guided by that Word. That Word was precious to him. And then it says in verse 5, the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Yeshua answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. How did Yeshua walk? What was the very core of his life? The love of the Word of God, but also he knew that life was all about worship. And he knew that the one and only person that you and I are to worship is the one true living God, his Father. And as a result of that worship, it will lead into acts of service. Our worship will lead us into a lifestyle of walking with the Father in the world and carrying out his will and bringing in his kingdom. He will show us where he is at work. Yeshua in the Gospel of John is pictured as, he said, I can do nothing on my own, that I only do what I see the Father doing. I only do what the Father shows me. Where the Father is at work and invites me to join him, that's what I do. I was not here to do my own will. I am here to do the will of the Father. And so it is with us. And then the devil comes again, and he says in verse 9, then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Yeshua answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. What is he saying there? He's saying that the most important thing in life is trusting God, that God can always be trusted. I don't have to put him to the test to make sure that he's true and good and always challenging him. But whatever I face, I can trust him. Do you remember sometime later, Yeshua will say to his disciples, let's get into the boat and go to the other side of the lake. And they got into the boat and Yeshua was exhausted and promptly fell asleep. And a terrible storm came up on the lake and these veteran fishermen said, we're going to drown. And they went and woke Yeshua up and said, don't you care? We're going to drown. And Yeshua simply woke up, stood up, said, be quiet. And then what did he say? Where is your faith? He was astonished. You see, all of life in relationship to the Father, we can trust the Father to take care of us. If he said, get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake, you'll make it to the other side of the lake one way or the other. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Rather, you shall trust him regardless of what the circumstances look like. And so, these little glimpses along of what it is to walk like Yeshua walked. We walk like Yeshua. He puts in us the desire to be about the Father's business. We walk like Yeshua when we do what the Father wants us to do, even if it looks to the world like we shouldn't be doing it. The baptism, the approval of the Father, the commitment of our lives, involvement in prayer in every instance, the reliance upon the Holy Spirit. And then the Word of God is precious to us. And the worship of God is at the very center of our life. And flowing out of that worship is our service, an act of love and reliance on His Spirit, and always, always a deepening trust in Him. This is how we walk like Yeshua. The will of God is the most important and precious thing to us because God Himself, we know, is good, and we know who He loves us, and we know He is the most important and precious one to us. And so John comes to say to us again, this is how we know that we are in him. We know it because we keep his commands. We know it because in keeping his commands, the love of God becomes more and more a part of our lives. We know it because we are in him, and we know it because in our lifestyle, we look more and more like what Yeshua looked like when he walked this earth. And therefore, with this kind of glorious knowledge, we can celebrate with great assurance and great security and thank God for the relationship he has brought us into with himself. Let's pray together. Father, you said through Yeshua, this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Yeshua Mashiach, whom you have sent. And Father, we thank you for inviting us into this relationship to know you, to live in you, to abide in you, and to have a life day by day, step by step, in the atmosphere of you. We thank you, Father, for the glorious pictures of Yeshua that you've given us in the Gospels, in the Tanakh, and the way you've shown us what life looks like, what you designed life to be in a relationship with you. Father, increasingly, may each of us look like Yeshua in our choices, in our affections, in our thoughts, in every part of our lives. And I thank you, Father, that your design is that we would know with absolute certainty that we belong to you, and that we would discern those who claim to know you but really don't, so that we can be careful, and so that we can help others to know you. Thank you. Thank you for this glorious life with you. We pray all this in Yeshua's name. Amen.